And our first speaker is Mitro Wallin from Uppsala University, and he will speak about non-local geometry of beta algebras and monodromy bootstrap. So, thank you.
Hello, yes, good. So hello everyone. Yes. Yeah. So I'm going to speak about this, and these are the people who I'm working with. Great thanks to them. I announced what I'm planning to do about this program on the same conference 2015 in London. These pictures are actually from that slides from that conference. These are not new slides. The story starts from realizing that integrable systems that we are working with, they have equations that are non-local equations. What do I mean by non-locality here? That we have the same function appearing in an equation which is evaluated in two different places of the complex plane. This is non-locality. And to make sense of the equation, we need to know how to connect the two points. If function is analytic, there is no problem. It's whatever path you choose for connecting, get the same result. But if there is a branch point, then making in two different ways, moving, give you two different things, and then this equation suddenly stops making sense, because what do you mean by writing such an equation? Appearance of such branch catches is actually quite a severe thing, a severe constraint on what you can do. And many classical work on integrability from the beginning assume three options: rational, trigonometric, and elliptic. Like there is even some theorems, but these theorems actually hiddenly contain assumptions that the functions are single-valued functions. And there are quite many communities that work in this domain. Eli mentioned there are hyper-elliptic cases. I'm very curious what they're actually doing there. What we know for sure that in a DCFT integrability, branch points are present. It was completely convincing after the time we realized what is the analytic structure of dressing factor, BAS dressing factor. Since then, it was clear that branch points are unavoidable. But exactly in this form, it became a part of the day life when we were studying Y system on mirror T-hook. This was not actually said much during conferences in 2009. People were shown picture of T-hood, which was nice. But I mean, those who work knew that there is a problem passing far away from mirror region. And there were some claims that Y system is dead and discussion about that. So for DCFT, it's reality. And I kind of try to say that instead of saying that it is reality which is problematic, let's embrace it and use to our advantage. So the idea of monodromy strap is quite simple. We say, okay, we have branch point, we will even postulate the existence. And then we take our system, go around branch point, and require that something nice happens with our system. So star here means some symmetry transformation, which one we can choose and define different models. This is a very simple idea. So this is actually a crossing equation in reality, implemented in a quite strange way. Well, it's easy to say this phrase, but there are a lot of questions to ask how to implement the idea. And when you try, you soon realize that you're asking always the wrong questions, because system is not the one that you are used to. The goal of this talk to explain a framework of ideas which allows you to start asking correct questions about monodromy bootstrap for this situation. And this is what I really want to convince today. Before going into framework, I want to tell you that already in 2015 and before, there were two proofs of concept existing. First, of course, is IDS5 quantum spectral curve. In fact, in our paper, there is a section which people really use or ignore, or usually they ignore, because this chapter, the section doesn't help to compute any anomalous dimension. But in fact, it is about this idea written in a different way. And so we did not use this idea to derive this spectral curve. We used TBA, but this gave an inspiration. And then just mimicking this inspiration, it's possible to derive Hubbard. With all details, we did it only recently, but the equations themselves I already put in my talk on JST 2015. So this is like baby version, the main difference appearance of function f, which is because the central charge is non-zero, and this is important. Without this you can't do Hubbard. I will speak about this later. So these are two inspirational examples telling that you're not crazy, things can work, and let's try to make them work in general. And this is the general goal of this program. Given a symmetry algebra, some Lie algebra G, apply monodular bootstrap ID and get some spectral curves of ODCFT type. First big problem is really what is Q. We see here there are some Q systems around, whatever they are, but what is a Q system for given Lie algebra? And this is not something that is clear at all. And most of the talk today actually will spend on explaining, given Lie algebra, what is Q system, and we will do arbitrary Lie algebras, simple Lie algebras, in fact. And then, after I explain this, you will have a good set of ideas, hopefully, and it will be much easier to explain how monodular bootstrap work, and, well, there will be some more declarative statement about IDS3 CFT spectral curve conjecture. When you will do all this business, actually, there are many spin-offs. These spin-offs about both rigorous and efficient improvement of studying variety of integrable systems, which not necessarily are CFT, like rational speed chains and so on. We have quite a few results there, which are quite interesting by their own sake. So this is my plan. And so let us start. We start by just discussing what I would mean by Q system. What do I want? The simplest thing to keep in mind is rational spin chain. Mathematically, it's some representation of Youngian algebra. So you do your transfer matrix, construct set of commutative quantities. We call this set of commutative quantities beta algebra. Some people call it Baxter algebra also. And you kind of often say that commuting quantities is landmark of integrability. But here is this funny part, that if your Hilbert space is finite dimensional, having commuting quantities gives you zero in knowledge. Why? Because, look, you have just big matrix, okay? Imagine that this matrix has non-degenerate spectrum. The worst possible integrable model to have zero degeneracies, right? It exists as an integrable model, but so let's take this case, spectrum is non-degenerate of this matrix. Then by just simply taking power of this matrix, you for sure generate all possible commutative quantities you can ever have. It's only when system is infinite, it's becoming a non-trivial task. So saying you have finite dimensional Hilbert space commuting quantities, you say nothing. It's always true. So integrability doesn't really lie in existence of commuting quantities when it's finite dimensional Hilbert spaces. Yes? Uh-huh, and this is the next point I'm going to make. I also make it provocative for the reason, right? So it's not about commuting quantities themselves, but the fact that you can organize commuting operators into functions of spectral parameters. And this function of spectral parameter should satisfy quite non-trivial functional relation. And when actually you see this, then it's actually integrable, not before. And as Matthias mentioned, of course, it eventually can be equivalent to beta equations. So to see what I mean by this philosophy, SU2 spin chain with periodic but with diagonal twist in periodic boundary conditions, so just to make less degeneracy, And so M magnon sector, everything standard. And for this spin chain, we can construct two Baxter Q operators. So I actually have to cite here very many different groups present in this audience for how you can do this. And we have two of them, actually. I will call it red and yellow. During this talk, there will be a lot of red. There will be always red and yellow skews. So this is a typical example of red. This is a typical example of yellow. So this is polynomial Gm modified by twist factor, and this is other polynomial by new hyper factor. So, so this is just some matrices which are polynomials in U, and their determinant should be equal to U to the power L. So we call it Vronsky and beta equations. So this is non-trivial functional relation. You see here shift plus I over 2 shift by minus I over 2 is actually already non-local equation. I emphasize this, non-local equation already here. And I don't really focus on that this should be some function here. It can be any functions. I focus on the fact that this here is identity matrix. So Q and Q, white and red and yellow Q are commuting matrices. But if you randomly choose commuting matrices, this type of expression will unlikely give you identity. Even more, suppose you fix Q somehow, and then you try to find yellow Q such that right-hand side is identity. And then again, you will fail unless zeros of this Q satisfy beta equations. So this is really non-trivial constraints, which is, for me, today will be really how I see integrability. It will be basically a definition. So I said about matrices. For the rest of the talk, I, however, will stick to eigenvalues. So I just wanted to make like allusion to the question that we won't commit in quantities, but eventually it will be eigenvalues still. And we proceed, so you can think about them as eigenvalues in the following. Right, so there are two bonuses about doing this logic. So first, that there is actually rigorous statements about completeness for these systems. Those who try to solve beta equations know that they have problems. So this equation doesn't have problems. It always have correct number of solutions. This was proven by Muhin Tarasov-Varchenko 2009. And bonus number two, actually, if you have two Q functions, you can easily construct all the transfer matrices. So it's very compact formulation. So this is type of Q system, very simple one, which you want to do something similar for any simple Lie algebras. And this is what I mean by Q system. Because I will be very general, I want to slightly change notations. So I want to reabsorb this parameter inside Q functions. I do it by introducing dressing factor. So I say my polynomial time dressing factor should be another function that determinant is equal to 1. So dressing factor satisfies some crossing equations. It's not a crossing I would speak today about, but it's another type of crossing. Right, so just a redefinition. So I will not have explicitly any source terms like this. I will be hidden in the definition of Q functions. So it will be less number of functions to speak. Yes. This one, yes. I did it to speak less about details, yes. But everything calls without SSL, but just have to make more clauses, yes. No, it completely solves there as well. I just don't say about it. Its statement is fully fixed there as well. So this first thing and second thing I want to notice that this red and yellow functions actually organized in a vector. Well, it's two-dimensional vector, so you can guess that it's a transform induction of SU2, and we have SU2 spin chain, so kind of relation, but in four-dimensional system it's hard to guess if it's accident or not. But anyway, this is a vector, and you can compute transfer matrices by doing these nice wedges. So sorry, like this, with different shifts. If shifts is like this, equal to 1 is the same determinant as here. So this is type of equations I won't really to generalize, and this one. And before even going to real work, I want to tell you philosophy of the generalization. So Q system is really about quantum mechanics versus classical mechanics. So take an energy conservation. It can be written as a quadratic equation for P. You can do it in this form. It's clear you have permutation symmetry. It's called Galois group of this quadratic equation, S2. Right? You can permute to Riemann sheets, and this is type of a symmetry in our world. When you do quantization, you have Schrödinger equation, and now it's really wave function who is the main character here. And there are, like here there are two solutions, there are also two solutions to this equation, but now it's quantum mechanics. You can do linear combination, it's called superposition. And symmetry is no longer S2, but GL2, which is Lie algebra already. But also in quantum mechanics, we always projective. We do not care about phases. So real symmetry is PGL2, whose Lie algebra is SL2. So this is quantum mechanics. In the integrable world, we also have higher order equations. We can consider Lux matrix, N by N Lux matrix, right? Classical spectral curve. Then symmetry will be Sn. And there are some way to quantize either honestly or philosophically. Anyway, this is at least philosophically it's Baxter equation, but there are examples when we can prove it. Again, this is the same story. There are n solutions. We can take any linear combination. We don't care about normalization, so it's projective GLN, whose Lie algebra is SLN. So the whole point is that when you quantize, your permutation group become Lie algebra. And general story is the following. Then you have some Coxeter graph, well, Dynkin diagram for Lie algebra. Then it has actually two things. Classical things, which is Weyl group or Coxeter group of this graph. So a system of reflection are associated to nodes. Simplest case is permutation. On the other hand, it's have associated Lie algebra. And building Q system is actually updating this group to something. So update something that transform induction of Weyl group to something that transform induction of corresponding Lie algebra. This is really what happens when you build Q system. And now I will tell you, considering simply lace case. Just a disclaimer, doing GLN is boring because that doesn't show you all the important features. You can easily miss the point when you do GLN. But anyway, I will tell you the point, so if you don't want to focus to GLN, you can do it in your head, and then I tell you, okay, this is the point. So I remind, we want something, so SL2 is a Dynkin diagram with one node. Associated to node, we have two Q functions, whose Wronskian is equal to one. I have to introduce something what's called QQ bar system in the literature. It's the following thing. You have your favorite Dynkin diagram. To each node of Dynkin diagram, you associate one Q function, and which is called red Q function in this talk, and also one more Q function, which is called yellow. And you write what's called QQ bar system, which is Wronskian of red and yellow function at a given node of Dynkin diagram, equal to product of all Q functions at the node adjacent to your node. So here it will be, for instance, three neighbors, and they will be product of three Q functions. For the moment, yes. It's to start. Eventually, we'll come to non-simply laced. Now, for the young part of the audience who didn't see this argument before, I will explain how this goes to beta equations. What you have to do, you have to take this equation shifted by I over 2. So this bracket means one in the, so plus means shift by I over 2. 2 in the bracket means shift by I, like twice by I over 2. This is also 2 here. It's not clear, but it's 2. So you shift this equation by I over 2, get this equation. I shift by minus I over 2, get this equation. And then you actually consider it at the zeros of red Q function. It becomes zero. And then the determinant becomes product of on diagonal. And then when you divide, this yellow function disappears. So you get this ratio. And this is a beta equation. This is how a QQ bar system is related to beta equation. Okay. Very good. So now we start to go to play mutation game. So I call it for this talk mutation game because it's very similar to cluster algebras. Like some of you know what is cluster algebra related to Y system, for instance. So it's not the same thing, but it's very similar logic, though. Mutations are known by many different names, by many different groups. So it's people doing this all and over again, naming it every time different name. So what is mutation game? So you take your favorite Dynkin diagram, write explicitly QQ bar system, and define mutation in the node SA, like somewhere here, as a following operation. You basically take, for instance, here mutation at node 2. So you take your Q function, red Q function, and replace it with the corresponding yellow Q function. But also, if you do this replacement, you have to update your QQ relation. So you see here we have Q2 in three places. So we have to make three places for replacement. And by doing this replacement, we actually modify three equations. When we modify three equations, this means that the role of yellow function should change. Because of course, this Q1 bar will not say yellow Q1 bar, this one, yellow Q1, is not going to solve new equation. A new different function will solve this equation. So what will happen when you mutate function at given node, you also affect what would be called yellow function. It will generate new Q functions in this way eventually. So it's important to realize. And so this is one mutation step. And the game is to make mutation again and again and again and again and again and again until you reach some saturation point. Either you are tired or you exhausted all possibilities. There are two options. And this, if you're clever enough, you can exhaust those possibilities before you are tired. So to become clever, we have to consider a classical case. Classical case is called character limit when Q function just a twist to power minus IU, and times some number which I not will be caring about. This is called character limit. In this case, all the transfer matrices become characters. It's exactly when quantum mechanics become a classical thing. In this case, if you will do mutation, first of all, Q function are replaced by Y. It's not Y function, it's just numbers or variables, which do not depend on spectral parameter, which define your twist. And when you just solve this equation for in terms of Y, you see that Y have this transformation. And if you know a little bit of character theory, it's actually well group action on just simple character. So character is a trace of a group element, and you can take diagonal to group element, some number to the power of Cartan generator. And so if well group you act on Cartan, it's exactly what will happen with your Ys. So this is like standard fact, and just you just can refer to any textbook on the subject to know that all this beast will transform under action of normal well group by in normal standard way, that you absolutely are aware how it will go. And then you can to ask the question, what will be orbit of this tuple of Ys? And the answer is nice. It's a number of elements of well group. This means that well group act freely. There is no well reflection that stabilizes any tuple. It will always change until it exhausts the whole orbit of the well group. This is good. But more interesting question is if you focus on particular Y, like Y2, for instance, and you just record what possible values Y2 happens on the way of mutations, it will be less than the whole well group. Much less, and you can ask how many. And the answer is also known. It will be length of the well orbit of A's fundamental weight. So probably you know that Dynkin diagram for each node, there is a fundamental weight who makes some orbits, but also it has associated fundamental representation of Lie algebra. So I just give you two examples, like this Dynkin diagram for SL4. So, and here these numbers actually answer this question. So Y1 will achieve four different values on the well orbits. Y2 will achieve six, this is four. So it's binomial coefficients, and probably you can, and also the dimension of corresponding representations. So in your own framework, you can probably understand why it's so. But here for SO8 is more interesting. So this is vector representation, will be eight guys. This is two spinors, which also aid the rest reality. But here, we actually will have 24 from this Y, will be 24 different value of this Y. Why 24? Well, it's actually 8 choose 2 minus 4. So 8 choose 2 is anti-symmetrization of a vector. This is what this representation is. This now corresponds to adjoint representation, which is anti-symmetric vector representation. So this is 24. But Cartan elements are never in the well orbit of raising and lowering operators. So raising and lowering operators can always mix up by well transformations. But Cartan can't. And so the answer is here 24, not 24. But anyway, this is the answers. And this is the answer for mutation game on D series, for instance. And now, after we studied classical game, we are going to go to full quantum version of the game. Full quantum version of the game saying that now these Q functions are functional spectral parameter, and mutation means actually solving this finite difference equation in some favorite way and replacing red function with corresponding solution. And here's the fun starts, because this is first order equation, that hence any solution is solution of inhomogeneous equation, this inhomogeneous equation, plus any addition of a homogeneous solution. So alpha can be any number in reality. And even more, it can be a periodic function. But for today, I will speak only about its being number. Right, and so we have ambiguity what to do. There are two things to do. One option is to work hard and find a way to constrain the ambiguity. For instance, introduce back twists. Says now Q functions, let's say, will be Q functions, will be some twist, time another function of U. And yellow twist is different from red twist, so it's very different asymptotic. So by fixing pure asymptotic, you can fix your favorite solution. There are also other, even randomly ad hoc ways to fix your solutions. This is possible. And then there is quite a non-trivial statement which requires some work, not some, but serious work, actually, to show that if you fix your solution by some tool, good tool, of course, then you actually, even in this complicated functional case, you do exactly like in characters. It will be the same well orbiter like in characters, and you reproduce what our friends call Haase diagram. And so this is explicit realization of well orbit of characters. So you can open their paper, see the indices, and even understand what's happening with indices. But with knowing that is how characters transform, you of course can do the same Haase diagrams for any algebras immediately. Right. And then because it's the same game, you'll have exactly the same number for Q functions. But now, and this is something which we always were not willing to do, but recently realized it's another feature but not a bug in the story. We actually will allow to get linear combination of homogeneous part freely. That means that every time we do mutation, we allow to add anything we want, and every time it will be something different, randomly. Just from the mathematical, it's easy to do. And so let's see what happens in this case with mutation. So if you start from some red Q function, you have a linear combination of two guys. But if you do mutation again, actually it can be linear combination with any coefficient with the only requirement that projectively these two numbers are not the same as alpha 1. Because I don't care about normalizations, I only make projective statements. It's like homogeneous coordinates in projective space. So ratio of alpha prime beta prime should be different from alpha. That's the only requirement, otherwise it can be arbitrary. And so in particular, alpha prime beta prime can be alpha can be any, so alpha prime beta prime is completely unconstrained by the choice of red Q two steps before. So something different changes. So there is a good analogy for this. It's those who knows for you Stokes phenomena. You see, have to think about red Q as small solution and yellow Q as a big solution. When you start with a solution which is smaller than a given Stokes sector, it's uniquely fixed. Then if you go to the next Stokes sector by crossing Stokes line, then solution become big, but it can have small solution as addition, but its asymptotic is still under control. But if you can cross another Stokes sector, I mean, you're lost. It can be anything after that. This is a standard story from Stokes phenomenon and WQB analysis. And by the way, this is not only analogy. By ODIM, it's precise equivalence between what I'm doing and what is done in ODIM equivalent. And this is how we actually use things to prove statements. We do ODIM dual, do things there because there it can be done rigorously, and come back to get our results. Right, so then because these numbers are arbitrary, you can go on and go on, and of course you will go forever, and asking how many answers you will get is meaningless, infinite, but you still notice that it will be always linear combination of two functions, only two. So can you ask what is linear span of, so you have some seed, red Q, and then you do mutation for eternity, and you can ask, okay, this is some functions, how many linearly independent functions are there? And the answer will be two. So we replace number of elements on the orbit by dimension of linear span, which in this answer is two. And so we play the game. And for your convenience, I give you more examples because there will be no numbers, more numbers is more convincing. So I took two SL type Dynkin diagrams and two D type Dynkin diagrams. And ask the question, okay, I take my Q function, do this mutation with possibility to add linear combinations. So I do superposition, like a quantum mechanics, really. And ask myself, okay, what will be dimension of linear span? So for A-type Dynkin diagrams, the answer is exactly the same as for the orbit of corresponding character solution. So that's why I case is boring. You will not see the feature. But for these guys, this 24 becomes indeed 28. So the linear span will be bigger than the length of the corresponding well orbit of a character. So Q function that you'll get actually will span the whole adjoint representation. And this is actually true for any diagram. You can even compute it by Mathematica experimentally, which of course we did originally. Or you can eventually you can prove the statement. So here the numbers of character orbits, and this is dimensions of corresponding representations. So this is anti-symmetric, this is three times anti-symmetrized. So the statement that Q functions are no longer well orbit of characters, but they actually form corresponding representation of corresponding Lie algebra. And this is where update schemes comes. So what we achieve, we replaced red Q functions, but a big column of functions. So you have a real big zoology of functions by now, like if you big to high algebra, it's exponentially many guys, really. But what we achieved by this, that they form vectors that are in corresponding representation of the symmetry group, and we achieve covariance in description of beta algebra, which was not there before. It's covariant in the action of the symmetry group by now, very explicitly away. And after we did this, original QQ bar system will be replaced by statement from representation series. So here we have red and yellow guys, and this is actually first two components of this vector. And this Wronskian, but now this Wronskian becomes wedge of this vector, and this product of leading coefficient becomes tensor product of corresponding representations. So this equality is what replaces QQ bar system. By the way, this equation was first realized in this paper, and also here it was present. But they did exactly the opposite of what we did. They started from DAM. In DAM, it's more easy to understand why this is true. And then they say, oh, first component of this equation is this equation. Hey, we get QQ bar system, we get beta equations. We are happy because people really wanted to get beta equations out of their consideration. What I'm telling you now, no, you should not be happy to have beta equations. You should actually get covariant description instead. And this is very many functions and even more equations. Number of equations here is much more than number of functions. Actually, mutations close eventually to a finite linear span. So the fact that you can actually solve them is highly non-trivial. And the fact you can, and yet you can solve with all the red function being functional freedom of your solution. So there are still as many non-fixed function by this equation as rank of your algebra. And so I perceive this, and eventually prove this by doing a representation theory of, let's say, a finite dimensional representation of affine algebra. And you know, quantum affine is integrability, so I speculate here, but stating that this equation is kind of like a Jahn-Bachstad equation on the level of beta algebra. If you do not know R matrix, you do not know all the stuff about Drinfield doubles and so on. For instance, in the DS554, we do not know, right, after one loop. It's a big open question, like probably the main question, which is open. At least in my perspective. But nevertheless, you can replace a Jahn-Bachstad equation. Let's say this is Jahn-Bachstad equation, if you wish, for beta algebra. A BGM is not, we do non-supersymmetric case for the moment. Moreover, these equations are good, but we found more relations, much more relations, and we found geometric meaning of this. The fact that these Q functions describe something which is called fuse flag. So what it is? So by definition, flag, not fuse flag by flag, is a homogeneous space of complexly group G by complex Borel subgroup. It's just a definition in mathematical literature. It has nice geometrical interpretation, but it's just a definition. And how we work with right here definition. So how we work with how we can parameterize homogeneous spaces? Well, in physics, it's called order parameter in phase transitions. We take your favorite object that transform on the action of G, and then it's also invariant on the action of B. If you want to break symmetry from G to B, you find order parameter, which is preserved by B, but changes on the G. And then, so if this is an object who has B stability group and transformed on G, orbit of this object under G, exactly your homogeneous Penz G quotient B. So let's do this for flux. So this, it's, of course, it's clear that tensor product of these vectors will live in tensor product of a corresponding representation. So they live in big vector space. Highest weight vector in this big representation clearly annihilated by raising operators and in, only rescaled by Cartan. So projectively, up to normalization, this highest weight vector is invariant induction of B. Hence, the orbit, G orbit of this vector in this space projectively is precisely will be our G quotient B, will be our flux. And now rough claim that we are making that this very special vector in this very big space lives on the orbit of highest weight by action of G. This is a rough claim. And this claim is very non-empty already, because what we can show that Q functions which live here form not arbitrary vectors, but null vectors, light cone vectors. Only possible is to be light cone. It can be only null plane. This is null three plane. And these two guys should be pure spinners. Nothing else is possible in integrability. But it's not all. This was rough claim. Well, the exact claim is that it's fused flux, because I never spoke about spectral parameter here. But everybody depends on spectral parameter, and everybody non-locally, all equations are non-local. So this statement is actually true if you do small quantum shift each of each spectral parameter. So the statement is the following, is that this tensor product with this very specific shift live on the orbit of some G orbit of highest weight vector if this vector P, P1, P2, PR, has this property. The difference of 2p is plus or minus 1 if they are adjacent Dynkin nodes. Moreover, this should be true for all choices of such vector p, not only for one, but for all. And the statement for all is actually equivalent to beta equation. So derivation of this fact is use of DAM. And remark to connection to mathematics, you hear the word oper, nobody knows what is oper. So I tell you, oper is this guy. Okay. So now you know what is oper. Okay. Find a difference oper. Okay. Okay. So I hope you got an idea of what is a big Q system on fused flux. It's some geometric object of this type. And it can be constructed after doing very many mutations, and it has have covariance induction of symmetry algebra. But it's a huge object. Is it even useful? So very quickly about usefulness of this object. Right, this is a repetition. We actually had this equation. To make use of this, I actually have to recall that this addressing factor and come back to original equation. So the answer is, for instance, that analog of beta equation is this QQ system. This is Drinfield polynomials now. It's equal to u to the power l for vector representation, one for all other nodes. It's simplest spin chain. So let's make this just interesting claims for mathematics. It's, for the moment, it's proven only for a few cases. Otherwise, it will be conjectures. So QQ bar system is written here. It's original one. It's not all this green stuff which are generated. It's original one. Original QQ bar system has the right number of solutions for generic values of parameters. And also bit equations as most likely has right number of solutions for generic value of parameters. Both of them actually fail for specific values. In both cases, you actually have to babysit them to get correct answers. What is improvement that this new covariance system conjecturally have the right number of solution always. So it will capture, for instance, all correct exceptional solution automatically. And this will be a rigorous statement. And then you can reformulate, but this is one thing. Another thing that you can do all this machinery to reformulate beta equations and concentrate them in one node of Dynkin diagram using these big vectors, which are not that big on the ends of Dynkin diagram. And for instance, you can get to Wronskian beta equation. Or for SO2N case, we got some interesting Wronskian type beta equation using pure spinners. And it's the statement, we for instance conjecture by extremely extensive check that this is always correct number of solution. And moreover, we can quickly generate thousands of solutions to beta equations by using these approaches. And of course, the most known for this audience is Hirota OT system. So the point that this is covariant, T function is invariant. And scalar product of two covariant vectors, this is A and this is A star, contra gradient representation. This scalar product with appropriate shift generates a function which solves Hirota for any Dynkin diagram. And this is new, so Ferrando Krafratsi-Kozakov did it for D case, SO2N. We did this also for SO2N, but also for E series, and I will show you now also for non-simply laced case. Okay. I will go very quickly to non-simply laced case without much of details because we still have to do monodromy bootstrap. 5 minutes, wow, great. Yeah. But I started later, right? Huh? 15? 15 minutes, okay. Okay, non-simply laced case too, very quickly. So in this case, first notice that Cartan matrix should be replaced by symmetric Cartan matrix. And this changes, so it's to Kostya question, this changes to some changes in this QQ bar system and change the mutation game rules. But you play the same game of mutation, and for instance, it lasts to SO7 case. And for the question, what span, linear span by Q function to get? You get these numbers, which completely different from dimension of corresponding representation of B3. So it's 12, 7, 13, 21, 28, no connection really. So what happens that this number actually hiddenly representation of unfolded diagram A5, is binomial coefficients. So what you discover that Q system is not representation of B3 any longer. So what is symmetry algebra? It's not also 7. For Q system with symmetry algebra, it will be SL6. But there is some folding connection. So there is some rules of the folding, which I will fix. But actually, we know the answer that it's not even simple folding. There is some folding using automorphisms. By the way, keep be aware because it's what we're going to do in monodromy bootstrap. We also will have some automorphism there. And so there is some rule, there is some interesting shift spectral parameter. And the statement, this falls under representation theory, not even of A5, but twisted affine A5. Inside behind that original symmetry, well, you know the quantum attribute, Bell trillion quantum affine, not B3, but it's affinization and some stuff. Lang-Lanz dual, whatever it is twisted affine. All right, so this kind of, you can guess it after you become clever enough, you can guess the answer anyway from the beginning. But also notice that this is six-dimensional representation. It has nothing to do with seven-dimensional representation. So it's actually also six-dimensional representation. When you fold this diagram, it's not B3, it's actually C3, which is symplectic. So just for fun, Q function on this node happens to be in representation of SP6. So transfer matrix in vector representation of SO7 is given by Q function in six-dimensional representation of symplectic group, completely different group. And this is a symplectic structure, it's anti-symmetric form now, not symmetric. So when you start from, so what's here, what we learned, so in general, when you start from symmetry in your system, to produce Q system, you have to do Lang-Lanz duality, and after that, things change. So Q system can obey different symmetry, related by different symmetry compared to original spin chain. Okay, so this gives you idea how to generate Q systems. Unfortunately, this idea has to be developed to get more interesting results, but at least you get a framework. And now I come back to simple cases, A series G, but supersymmetric, and we are going to do monodromy bootstrap, and here I just really want to focus on the main idea. So in this equation, there is tilde and there is star. Tilde means analytic continuation, this will be next slide, and star means applying symmetry. What we learned about symmetries. So Q functions, this green big Q function that transform under symmetry group, which is reality Lang-Lanz dual to original symmetry group of your integral model. And this group realized by matrix is actually I-periodic because it's finite difference equation. And also because everything was projective in quantum mechanics, we also have to do explicit rescalings. It's called in this business gauge transformations. So this is our symmetry that we are allowed to use. And also, of course, something like changing diagrams to the opposite diagram, something discrete, like Hasse, duality, swapping groups. So it's called out-automorphisms. So these are symmetries that you can do. So choosing, making your choice, well, this gives you a model. Actually, only choosing automorphism, auto-automorphism changes the model. Other symmetries are constrained by monodrivial bootstrap already. And second is, what is analytic continuation? In Andrea talk, analytic continuation will be noted by gamma. So now I just tell you quickly, so if you think that it's a simple, no, it's not. Because all these Q functions have actually big ladders of branch points. So our system is non-local. It evaluated different points of peripheral parameter. So it cannot go around branch point. Because if this guy goes around this branch point, another guy will go around branch point. You destroy your system like you destroy Y system by trying to make it through. So analytic continuation in just stupid naive wave will not work, will not work. So the idea that we have the symmetries, so this will not work. What we are going to do, we will use symmetries to all the time have absence of branch points while we proceed with analytic continuation. So we start with system, which is analytic in the upper half plane. There is no branch points, and everything is good. Then we go here, staying away from the cuts. And when we are here, we can perform symmetry transformation to make system analytic in the lower half plane. Because cut on the left, we allow to use periodic functions, which we called omega, which is symmetry of our Q system, which have cuts also on the left. So we use omega to create no cuts in lower plane. And we now in the lower plane, with after symmetry transformation, we are good. And we go up in the middle. And now we go up in the middle, and now we use other functions, which is called mu. They have cut to be outside, otherwise periodic here, that again create our Q system, which is analytic in the up. So you make the full cycle, applying symmetries on the way, and require that this guy is related to the original guy by some way. And now we start to crank machinery. And if you look on this formula, something you realize explicitly that, you know, auto-automorphism, it's quotient, it's inner, it's some automorphism by inner. So in reality, you cannot just flip the Dynkin diagram, you also have to make a symmetry transformation. So when you flip it back and make symmetry transformation, you don't come to original point. So this procedure tells you that having branch cuts is actually branch cut of square root type is probably not even possible, and usually it's not. And this is a big revelation for us in this business that actually this branch cut square root type is a luxury of a DS5. Generically, we don't expect it. Because of this procedure, it's already you can see it. And so now the only thing you have to do, you have to tell what symmetry you want. Type option is considered this SL2/ diagram and say that this star means Hodge duality. This means that you flip this function to this function, then you get some equation. This is PMU system, it looks like follows. Whatever it is, but I just want to tell you one theorem. If one requires square root type condition, I want the branch point of square root type. I like a DS5. Then I cannot impose f square equal to 1. By the way, I forgot to say f square equal to 1 is zero such condition, which would make from SL2/2 PSL2/2 case. And moreover, maybe should be anti-symmetric. And I got spectral curve like this. Only possible option with square root cuts. And this only possible quotient is called Hubbard model. We can derive TBA from here. We can derive Lipwu beta equations and Beiser version of them and compare with the result of this group. So this is derivation from a non-trivial bootstrap of Hubbard model. We can also say that star means do not make change. But because monodromy involves a lot of interesting symmetry transformation, it's still non-trivial statement. And we get another model and conjecture that here, first of all, theorem, you cannot make it with square root cuts. It's just impossible. And if you want central charge equal to 0, then conjecture that it's actually spectral curve for DS2 CFT1. And finally, to get DS3 CFT2, we need two Q systems because it's two copies of SL2/2. So by the way, there is a quiver describing PMU system here. And so what you do, analytic continuation actually swaps two guys. So there are some equations, and the conjecture is when it's central charge equal to 1 case, then it's actually a spectral curve for DS3 CFT2. And Andrea will speak in detail about details of this curve. They also have derivation, different, and he will speak a lot about this. Interestingly enough, we also have type D model, which is because what you can do, you can map this to this model, and this model map to Hodge dual of this model. So this is actually automorphism of degree 4. So there is some fancy model, PMU system is a fancy model, I have no idea what it is physically, which has automorphism D4, and well, we do not know what it is. Okay, and so now come to conclusions. So first conclusion that we propose to extend normal Q functions, Bactor Q functions, whose zeros are beta roots of normal beta equations, to a big class of green Q vectors, really, who covariantly transform under symmetry, Langlands dual of original symmetry. And all the properties neatly of them are neatly formats in geometric statements that they form a fused flag, which is geometric statement, but it's also non-local geometric statement. A fusion is because piece can be different and it should be always true. Comment, very many different groups work on this in many corners of the world. I cannot possibly cite everybody, and I apologize for everybody who on the site. It's, we have more than 200 citations in the paper. So this is a very small subset about who did Q system at least. So for instance, this list doesn't contain anything about Q operators. It's only about this mutation game story. So and conclusion number two, now we have good intuition about what is Q system, and we finally can start playing the game of applying monorubius bootstrap idea. I told you that it's non-trivial because of non-locality. Defining linear continuation is hard, but it's possible. And we finally got the first predictive statement. First predictive statement that we got a DS3 CFT2 case conjecturally when it was not known in the literature before. So it's first time we do something before something else done by some other method. But now the hope that we can crank it for different algebras and make a DS-CFT integrability generic. It's not isolated point like it's now, like three cases or four. But it can be like systematically for any algebra, for all the type of parameters. So it's like becoming its own class, like elliptic, trigonometric, on top of this also idea CFT. So it will be like a big thing, and it could be interesting for different reason. So for instance, what I describe, it seem work for SLN slash N. Well, we have to check still details, but preliminary it's still okay. So it will be something new. And future goal, of course, is PK. So Kolya, we are working on it. I did not finish with it, to fully say that everything is good and nice. Of course, Z21 alpha is like holy grail to see that it really works because nobody knows what is there. And if people, I know why QRL algebras are interesting, so people who know it as well, speak with me, we will have something to share. And finally, notice that with flux, it can be interesting because apparently there is non-finite dimensional representation of finite algebras are there. Okay. And finally, the very last slide. All the system is a universal algebra geometric structure, which appears in all whole big list of different groups. And we have a program about it in Simon Center. So if you're going to Santa Barbara, you can stop over. Right? If you don't go to Santa Barbara, you just go directly to us. And yeah. So you're welcome to come. And if you want to work on this, I have much more questions than capability to solve them physical. So if you want to work on it, please contact me and we can work together. Thank you for your attention.
So it's time for questions. Okay, first you.
So even if you didn't quite go into detail, I have a bit of a curiosity about ADS3, which maybe is a bit also more general, because in the ADS3 case, there are massive and massless excitations. Mm-hmm. And if I look at the S matrix, I forget where I get this integrable model from. It seems that the S matrix bootstrap with fusion and crossing and so on, it closes just for the massive guys. So it seems that I could construct naively an integrable model just with the massive guys. And in terms of the sort of symmetries that I would have and representation, it would look very similar if I did, for instance, TBA. And my question is, if that is true, there should be some sort of ambiguity when you construct a quantum spectral curve just from PSU 1.1/2, essentially, to get the full model with the massless modes, or the model with only the massive, or maybe something in between with just something else that completes the model. What's your take on this?
Well, first answer, there is no fixed answer for massless nodes. But actually, by experience with Hubbard model, we see massless mode sourcing of massive mode by fixing cleverance that's on zeros of function f that we have. And function f appear indirectly in a DS3 CFT spectral curve. So this observation suggests, and this is current belief, which is not confirmed yet, that massless mode is very special zeros of the same Q functions. So there will be no need to add extra symmetries, extra Q functions node. It will be just there, just its extra zeros which live on the cut. On the cut things are problematic. Because it's on the cut, it's periodized and become infinite number of zeros. And it's hard to treat, hard to make asymptotic, but eventually hope that we will fix it. And well, then we will check if it's true. But for the moment, this is what we believe. There will be no need to extra sync. And also I will be happy to do this because I have no idea how to do U1. U1 is the one which is so empty that I do not know what to ask about it. No, I would say counter-top curve automatically has massless modes because you have to consider all possible solutions. And one of them will be massless modes. It's just hard to physically see the solution.
Hi. So the question is, so you can generate equation for quantum spectral curve, but big mystery, at least for me, is always why the set of solution is a set of isolated points.
So set of what?
Isolated points, right? So the spectral curve generates is non-empty and like non-continuous, but a set of isolated states.
Discrete, you mean?
Sorry?
I don't get, what do you refer to isolated point? What do you mean by isolated points?
Like at the end of the day, the claim would be that this gives a spectrum of the theory, which is a discrete spectrum,
yes.
Right? So, but from the equations, you can't really count the number of degrees of freedom in a sense. Will it generate a line of solutions or like a plane of solutions or a collection of isolated points, you see?
No, but, well, I also am not sure. Isolated points of series is just discrete set of solutions. I don't know.
So once you fix coupling, the size of the cut, you just get
discrete
set of spectrum.
Solution. Yes.
So how to prove that in general? That's the question.
No, but you also can get TBA from here, so I don't know. So for instance, for Hubbard, you can get LIBU equations, but also can get TBA equations. What will change?
Yeah, but TBA equation is defined up to an undefined set of driving terms, right, which could also be continuous.
Right, so the statement as usual. So Q system is set of all this Q system, including monorail bootstrap as well, is a set of functional relation. And monorail bootstrap fixes a little bit its analytic structure through a Minkowski-Hilbert problem. But what it does for itself, okay, it's not polynomial, it's not trigonometric polynomials, it's this modification. But then the logic is as usual. We have to produce, inside there is hidden source terms, and there are source terms. And so source terms come from extra analytic structure requirement for your functions. And now you have to play the game, I want this source term, and this will reproduce that theory, okay?
No, just for me, it's always a surprise. So whether there is one isolated non-solutions or a continuum of them. So you just have to hope that it works. If you have ideas how to prove it in general, it would be helpful, you know, to count number of solutions. You have set of equation. Now you, one should ask existence and uniqueness, basically.
Well, I mean, then I would do it like an IDS5. I go to the coupling, and there we almost have a proof that it's only that possible. I mean, but I'm not sure. It's a little bit. It's next level question. Quite hard.
I have two little questions. Maybe you had something in your transparencies, but very briefly about it. For A algebras, there are two useful notions, equations to solve for the spectrum of integral models. One is quite old, it's Baxter equation, which is very useful. And another thing which was newer was the Vronskian beta Vronskian beta equations, where you formulate in one single equation the whole nested problem. In the algebras, in our work with Guinael and Ruben Frasek, we had this problem that we had Vronskian beta equation, but it was sort of it was not clear whether it's overcomplete, undercomplete. There were more equations than
the second answer, right?
Yeah. Because and the second thing is about the Baxter equation.
Yes.
Baxter equation is not finite, and that's why not very useful in these systems. So can you comment on it? Do you have some progress on it?
So, right. So I flashed through this because it was, but yeah, I can tell you a little bit. So normal beta equations, like it's or QQ-bar systems, are distributed along. Let me find it. Here. So normal beta equations are distributed along Dynkin diagram, like have A is not of Dynkin diagram. To get to something which you would call Vronskian beta equation, we have to focus on the last node of Dynkin diagram. And in GLN SLNK, there are two last possibilities, both of them quite equivalent. And this you get normal Vronskian beta equations, okay? Which is nice and clever. So now the game to fix Vronskian beta equations, we can fix either on fermionic nodes or on a vector nodes. I know the equation, so I will answer it fully. So for fermionic nodes, we found these equations, and we found conditions to make it complete. What you propose is over complete, and we know why. Okay. So basically, but I will explain what you propose. So what you propose roughly is the following. So let's take this equal to 1. It should be u to the power of something here in reality. And let's use this projection property. The scalar product of vector is 0. So I think this is what you're proposing. And this you say, OK, this should be beta equations. Because let's say that this is a Q function in the vector representation. Scalar product is 1 is normal quantization condition, and projective is 0 is reduces number of functions to the normal one. So if you try to solve it, actually written here, can be used as version of beta equations. So if you try to solve it, you will get too many solutions, but you have to impose only one more constraint, is that V plus, which V minus, is divisible by u to the power L, which is not part of these equations. So you take many equations and change the constraint and conjecture that it will be complete in generic situation.
That's true.
This is answers?
Yes.
I can write your equation a little. So what you did, you missed one kinematical constraint. It's not dynamical. It's you're basically computing for different representation of spin chain, which is bigger in size. If you add one more constraint, it will be correct representation of spin chain. And second, about Baxter. First of all, we thought a lot, we speak with you, and we thought a lot about Baxter. So what you want from Baxter, that is linear equation, whose solution is Q function. And now, whose coefficients are invariant under the action of Langlands dual that I introduced. So if you require the coefficient invariant under Langlands dual, you will, by action with this symmetry, you will, of course, generate all the big Q vector present here. So it's automatically, it doesn't matter how you try, it will be always that huge thing. And if you want these two things, you're doomed. But what is good about, but now, if you don't want to write a linear equation, but you want to make a generating function, like ratio of two things, like Kuniba, like you did for super case, then it's more optimistic, but, well, we can discuss in the break. But I told you why it will be problematic, just normal one. It will not exist because it doesn't satisfy the required symmetry of the system.
No. Thank you.
Yeah. So, okay, I think it's time. It's time for coffee break, and let's meet at 10:25.